And if you would please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you use the Bibles in the pew, it's found on page 1220. As you know, we've been spending the summer weeks going through the various character qualities that we see of love as given to us in those few four or five verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, this wasn't necessarily planned this way, but today is the first day of fall. So we spent our summer months almost exactly looking through the idea of these character qualities of God. And you remember that we've used kind of the illustration that Henry Drummond gave in his little book, The Greatest Thing in the World, that what God is doing here in 1 Corinthians 13 is, in essence, taking this big, grand, beautiful concept of love and shining it through the prism of God's word. So just as light shines through a prism and you come out with all the different shades of the rainbow, so God gives us these pictures of the component parts of love. And I think it's an important passage, as all scriptures, it's an important passage for us because sometimes it's difficult for us to love. Sometimes it's even hard to know if we are loving because it's such a big concept. But we can take these character qualities of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and evaluate ourselves more easily than saying, am I a loving person? I can ask myself, am I being patient? Am I being kind? Much easier to evaluate. So let me read to you one last time, and Martin will finish up this series this evening, beginning with verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So our topic this morning is love hopes all things. Now, I've told you before that if I were Paul's scribe, it seems that Paul often had scribes as he was writing his letters. And if I was Paul's scribe and I was writing down at his dictation, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if we came to verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think I would have probably asked Paul, wait, are you sure that's what you want to say? Now, I realize Paul was under the influence of the Spirit, but 1 Corinthians 13 says, now, faith, hope, and love abide these, but the greatest of these is love. I think if I had been with Paul, I would say, no, wait a minute, Paul. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith has to be important, has to be vitally important. And then we all know that you can't live without hope. So hope has to be important. So, Paul, I'm not sure. I'd say the greatest of these is love. But that's what God says. The greatest of these is love. Perhaps one of the reasons that he says that is because faith and hope are not for the next life, but love will continue in eternity. We will not need hope because the Bible teaches, why do you hope for that which you already see? So I don't hope for my favorite football team to have won yesterday if I know they already won. I don't hope for that because it's already reality. And so Paul says, faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And we've defined love as a self-sacrificing commitment to seek the well-being of other people. And so this morning our topic is love hopes all things. And just a quick review, a couple of verses on the priority of love. Jesus tells in John 13 that by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:5, that the goal of our instruction is love that flows from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And in Galatians 5, he says, for the whole law can be summarized in a word, in a statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So love is clearly a priority for us. Now these three abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So our topic today is hope. Your love is reflected in hope. Your love, of course, is a reflection of the character of God. But it says here that love hopes all things. Now, hope, of course, is a great topic. Probably every pastor loves to speak or teach or preach about hope. But the problem with this passage is that it brings hope as part of the character quality of love. And how does hope play out in your relationships with one another? So this morning we're going to talk about that Christ-like love means you are to live in hope in your relationships. How does hope work with love? Well, again, we've defined love as a self-sacrificing commitment to seek the well-being of others. And I think you will remember that I define hope as the calm and joyful assurance that we will see the goodness and protection of God in this life and in the next. So love plays itself out in hope. Martin Luther said that everything that is done in the world is done in hope. Everything that's done in the world is done in hope. Think about that. You woke up this morning, I think. Maybe some of you want to fall asleep again. But you woke up this morning in hope that maybe today would be different than yesterday. That maybe you would have a great conversation at church. You woke up in hope. You planted your seeds in your garden in the spring, in the hope that flowers would come. You go to work or you go to school in hope that it will accomplish something. Everything that is done in the world is done in hope. And Samuel Johnson, reflecting that, said, without hope, there is no endeavor. You may remember the story of a small village in New York, that they were going to flood this little valley to build a reservoir for the cities nearby. And the reporter went in and to this little village, and not everybody had moved out yet. Most have, but not everybody had. And they noticed that there were sagging roofs and porches that were falling down, and the grass was unkept. And the reporter asked, well, why do you see these things? Why are these things happening? Why aren't you taking care of your lawn? And one of the people that was living in that little village said, well, when there's no hope in the future, there's no work in the present. And I think it's true as we think about this concept of hope. When there's no hope in the future, there's no love in the present. Because you see, love hopes all things. So this morning, we have to look at this idea of how hope affects our love. John MacArthur said this, that this phrase, that love hopes all things. Hope confidently expects future victory in another person's life, regardless of present imperfections. So hope expects and is confident of the victory of Jesus Christ in another person's life. In our Celebrate Recovery meetings a few weeks ago, the topic was victory. And I had the privilege of teaching that lesson today. And I defined victory in Christ as that idea that we can live cheerfully and consistently in all that Christ has already purchased for us. And then we asked the group, we had the marker board up here, and we asked the group to tell us all the things that Christ has already purchased for us. And we had a long list. Forgiveness, eternal life, abundance, peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, close relationship with God, friendship with God. These are all the things that Christ, and there's many more, that Christ has already purchased for us. And because love sees that future victory, we can walk in hope. So this morning, we need to look at three aspects of this idea of love hopes all things. The first one is that hopeful love towards God's people means that you trust in God's power. It means that you trust in God's power. As MacArthur says, that regardless of present imperfections, it's easy for us to look at imperfections in other people, to see their missteps, to see their crankiness, to see their sullenness, whatever it is. It's easy for us to look at those things. But you have to recognize that even in difficult relationships, that God's power can change that relationship, can change that person. And so therefore, love, because it hopes all things, does not give in to despair. It does not give in to denial. It does not give in to sullenness. Now, again, just as I mentioned last week, I'm not talking about making excuses for sin. But hope does not give into despair. Hope is the idea that we will see the goodness and protection of God in this life and in the next. So we have to trust in the power of God. You probably know people who are alcoholics who become sober. You probably know people who have been boastful, who have become humble. People who are irritable have become gentle. People who are proud become humble because of the power of God. So hope endures all things. We cannot give in to despair because of the power of God. Optimism is revealed in the power of God. It's sustained by the power of God. Pessimism is sustained by man's weakness. Dawson Trotman, some of us are reading a book about Dawson Trotman, and he was a man that believed that God was going to work. And then, as his commentary, one of his biographers says this: Trotman wrote in his journal, "From all indications, God is going to do something soon. I really believe some outstanding events with reference to his work will take place soon." And the biographer wrote this: "Such eager optimism can only spring from strong faith." You see, we have to have faith in the power of God. And then the biographer continues, "The conditions in which they moved surely did not warrant it. But for they were sketchy, if not depressing." This is where they were going to move to, Dawson and his wife. A one-room cabin in a motor court with a two-plate burner for cooking and a garage behind a textile service station 2 miles away where the men could meet for Bible study and bunk overnight. My friends, hope loves all things. It means that we have to trust in the power of God. So the second thing that we need to look at this morning is that Christian love to God's people or towards God's people means trust in God's promises. We all know that hope is based on God's promises and that love hopes all things, as our passage says. So now we can go back to our favorite science, that of mathology, which is a stunning science that's new, created by me, of course. But it's a combination of math and theology. Math has the transcendent principle of equality. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So if we know that love is, that hope is based on God's promise, and love never hopes, therefore, love is based on God's promises. My friends, I want to encourage you to perhaps think about a difficult relationship where it's hard to maintain that self-sacrificing commitment to seek the well-being of someone else. It's difficult. You've grown weary and tired. But let me ask you this. To what promises are you clinging? It's easy to grow weary. Galatians 6 warns us to not lose heart in doing good. Why? Because in good season you will reap if you do not grow weary. So my friends, what promises are you claiming for those difficult relationships? I remember Howie Hendricks was giving a convention one time and he had time for questions and answers, and he got a little note from somebody, and the note said, "I would like to ask you about my difficult situation, but he's sitting right next to me." Hope doesn't despair. It doesn't give in to sullenness. It believes in the promises of God. So what promises are you claiming for a difficult relationship? It may be in the house, it may be in the neighborhood, extended family, at work, at school. What promises are you claiming? You see, God has promised to forgive. He's promised to be faithful. He's promised abundant life. He's promised to give you power, as we just talked about already. He's promised to give freedom. What promise are you claiming in your difficult situations? You see, love and hope, they persevere. They persevere. Love perseveres. Hope perseveres. You probably all know the story of Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand was arrested and thrown in jail, where he was tortured for, I think it was 14 years. And while he was in prison, his wife basically lived in poverty. She never knew if he was still alive. But Richard Wurmbrand did not give in to despair. He did not give in to sullenness. As a matter of fact, the question that was rumbling through his mind, was, how can I win these people that are torturing me to faith in Jesus Christ? He didn't give in to despair, because love endures all things. Love hopes all things. I think, as most of you know, Richard Wurmbrand, when he was eventually released, a beaten man, scarred, but he and his wife started what we now know as Voice of the Martyrs. You see, love endures. Love perseveres. The third thing that we need to look at this morning is that Christ-like love, hopeful love towards God's people, means you trust in God's presence. This morning I woke up, didn't really want to pray or read my Bible. Does that happen to anybody besides pastors, by the way? And I wasn't sure I really understood how love and hope come together. I understood hope, I understood love, and I was just kind of sullen. I looked over a little plaque, I guess, that I made, and it's based on thinking through the prepositions, praying through the prepositions. And these were some of the words on it. Christ in me. Christ for me. If God is for us, who could be against us? Christ with me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Christ from me. From his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Christ near me. He's promised never to leave me or forsake us. And it refreshed my spirit to just realize that the presence of Christ surrounds us. Patrick's famous prayer was based on these ideas, and his prayer goes like this. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. My friends, are you conscious of the presence of Christ in your life? Jesus said this in John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Jesus says that where he is, his servant will be. And so, my friends, we can just change that and say where you are, Jesus is. And Jesus loves. Jesus is love. Jesus embodies love. Where you are, Jesus is. And that can overcome difficult circumstances because Jesus loves and is love. And where you are, Jesus is. We've been talking about love for several weeks now. And as we are concluding our series on love, I wanted to maybe speak to those of you that have not embraced Christ. I knew that I wanted to be a kind and patient person. I wasn't. But I knew I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how to do it. And then when I came to profess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord and invite Him into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, things changed. And I began to understand how to truly love people. So, my friends, if you are not in Christ, your love will likely be fickle. It will not last long. It'll be temporary. It will be inconsistent, as mine was. And it won't last during trials and difficulties. So I plead with you, if you're not in Christ, to receive Jesus today. Where you're seated, you can just ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you and give you a new heart, a heart of patience and kindness and tenderness and hope and joy. If you're not in Christ, as we conclude this series this evening, I want to encourage you to embrace Christ, even this morning. But I want to return to the idea of soul talk, as D. Martin Lloyd-Jones talked about. You see, I knew I wanted to be a kind and patient person, not one that was boastful or arrogant, but I didn't know how to do it. And then I received Jesus, and in Christ I think I learned how to do it. You see, love covers a multitude of sins. So, my friends, if you are in Christ, I want you to open your Bibles again and page 1220, I believe it was. And I'm going to read these verses again. But as we did last week, I want you to insert your name in there. Because if Christ is love, and Christ is in you, then you are loving. So your name is patient. Your name is kind. You do not envy or boast. You are not arrogant. Again, because of Jesus. Because Jesus is all these things. You are not rude. You do not insist on your own way. You are not irritable or resentful. You do not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. You bear all things. You believe all things. You hope all things. You endure all things. The event probably happened about 35 years ago. I was at Furman College, a small college in Virginia. I was at a church planters conference. There were the high school gymnasium was filled with church planters and denominational leaders. And I don't know if the building is still there, but if it was, I could take you to basically point to you where I was sitting. The stage was off to my right. I was about halfway up the lower section. And a man was speaking. You probably know his name. If not, you probably need to do some research into him. His name was Robertson McQuilkin. He had been a missionary to Japan and then was forced to return to the States. And for 22 years, he was president of what we now call Columbia International University, at that time called Columbia Bible College and Seminary. A beloved man. And in 1990, he announced his retirement. His wife had become very ill and was going to need round-the-clock training. And the college said, well, why don't you stay at your position, maybe cut out a few things, and we'll make sure that there's somebody with Muriel all the time. We'll take care of your wife. He said no. His wife got to the point where she couldn't speak, couldn't take care of herself, bathing, eating, rarely recognized her own husband. As he was giving this address to us, he quoted from his resignation, his farewell speech to the students at Columbia College. He's talking about the fact that he was resigning to take care of his wife. He said this, "It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. I love Muriel. She has cared for me fully and sacrificially all these years. If I took care of her for 40 years, I would never be out of her debt." I'm sure that if there was a dry eye in that basketball arena that day, it was only because pastors can be callous and cranky at times, I suppose. But you see, my friends, love endures. Love forgives. Love hopes all things, bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love wins because Jesus wins. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can gather here. Lord, we know that left to ourselves, we are not loving, not kind. We are rude. We are irritable. We don't believe or bear all things. We don't hope or endure all things. But thank you, God, for the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Thank you for his magnificent promises. And thank you for the fact that Jesus lives in your people. He lives in us. So God, help us to hope all things. Help us to persevere because love perseveres. God, help us to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.